Well, we've come to the last training Saturday, and I told the brothers I have to pinch myself. It's 2 years. So I said, we all should get a medal just for finishing it. This training proves one thing. And that is, we are in an endurance race. Brothers, I hope that if there's one thing you pick up besides all the material, is that pursuing the Lord, serving the Lord, working for the Lord, is ultimately a test of endurance. In my learning, it's not so much a test of ability or test of even zeal. Those things are actually very, very important. But ultimately, it is a test of endurance. No wonder Paul, in his epistles and speaking to the believers, often brought up this matter of endurance as a virtue. In fact, he say in Romans, it takes suffering and tribulation to bring forth the virtue of endurance. And it is true that eventually in this journey, or in this race of pursuing Christ, to render a faithful service to him, Paul, at the end of his life, testified that he has finished the race. He has fought the fight, and he has kept the faith. All those three things, I would say, are matters of endurance. Surely he was the most gifted one. Surely he was the most capable one. But Paul did not talk about that. Rather, he testified to the saints how he finished. Not how you begin, how he began, but how he finished his course in a way of endurance. So I like to put something within all the younger brothers that don't trust in those things. If you have them from the Lord, that's wonderful. Build up your endurance in Christ. And it's not one day, it's not 1 year, it's not even like us, 2 years. Some people say, it's 2 years, it seems like nothing has happened. I thought after 2 years, we all will be on the rooftop dancing. Was that your dream? So now no one is dancing on the rooftop, so you say nothing has happened. Well, brothers, get ready for 20 years. Not 2 years, 20 years. Are you ready for that? That's my learning. Things that happen quickly will die quickly. We're not here for some quick results. We're not here for no results, but we're not here for some instant results. We're here for the long haul. So build up your endurance in your serving the Lord and serving the saints in the church life. If you trust anything, rather trust that. But of course, to acquire that virtue, we need to go through many things, many sufferings, many hardships, I would say many adversities. Those things should not put us down. Those things should never knock us out. Rather, those things should toughen us up. Those things should make us more faithful. those things would harden us in a very good sense, not to make us stubborn people, but to make us enduring people. Enduring people. And the Lord's recovery needs the virtue of endurance from us, the serving brothers, the leading brothers. So I'll just say that much. Nevertheless, we are coming to the end of the 2 years, and for your relief, there will be not a third year of this kind of training. Later on, I would like to say something in the third session about the application of this training. So, but let me say something quickly about this morning's schedule. We still would have the three sessions. In the first one, I will come back to the lesson we missed last time. And that is a most crucial lesson in lesson 69. We'll make that up this morning in the first session. Then, in the second session, I will cover the last lesson, that is lesson 72, which you got this morning. We will skip 70 and 71 on the subject of migration, on the subject of our health, taking care of our physical health for the Lord's interest, and so on. I will skip that, and I will go to the last message in the second session concerning our reward, the reward for a serving elder. Then in the third session, we will be using that time to say a word to all of us concerning next year. Because starting next year, we will begin another kind of training. We call it perfecting training, borrowing from Brother Lee's term, perfecting training, which last time when I was with you, we used the word core saints training. We abandoned that categorization because we feel that is not so good and could cause some confusion. So it's just going to be called the perfecting training of the Northern California churches. And just like who are the blended brothers? Well, those who are blending. Who are the core saints? Well, those who have come to the training. So no need to apply a kind of title to them. They are just what they are. We are just what we are. I don't care what you call yourself. If you are not that person, the tag means nothing. The reality means everything. So we will say something about that because this is a great burden. Indeed, we really believe this is the Lord's very clear leading to us. In 2017, the beginning of our fourth year labor in Northern California, which I would call our phase three. You know, I had the 1, 2, 3, year one, that is 14, and then last 2 years with this training, it's phase two, and then 2017, we will go into phase three. And to my feeling, phase three is a three-year phase. More endurance needed. All right. Are you okay, brothers? Amen. Now, this morning, I come to lesson 69, one of the most, a classic, totally based on one message by Brother Lee. It's basically a transfer of Brother Lee's single message given in 1996 or 95, I forgot, from that book called The Word of Love, or The Words of Love, or A Word of Love. And those were messages given to elders and co-workers again. One of the last speaking, if not the last speaking in print that he gave to this group of brothers. And in that book, he spoke about many things with many warnings. And actually, this whole message is a gigantic warning. That's what it is. And the outline of this particular message, which I surely will require you, if I may, that you need to get your own copy of this book, and it should be reachable by your hand in your library, because it's that important. Short book, but the last words of Brother Lee, some of the last words of Witness Lee. And in there's this particular chapter here called Being Right in Following Others. Brother Lee's burden was that in the past, a lot of the troubles in the church life or in the recovery was due to the saints, and not only the saints, even the elders, leading brothers, who did not follow people. And of course, in this case, the people is usually a coworker. You know, the elders typically follow, you know, a coworker. That's quite common, and that's right, quite typical. But you have to be right in following them. And right in following them. I just came from an area in this country. You can guess where it is because it was 2 degrees Fahrenheit. I have to pull up my long johns the last few days. I was 48 hours over there with 25 brothers for 2 days ministering to the Lord and laboring together concerning the Lord's advance in that whole very strategic region. And we could not help but just, the senior brothers at least, to recall the dark days that that region passed through. And eventually in 2006, they experienced a kind of a implosion that took out at least half of the saints from the churches. At least half of the saints. And that's thousands of them. And I never heard this one. I heard a lot of things concerning that co-worker whom everyone followed, or most people followed in the churches. He said, it's Watchman Nee, then Witness Lee, then it's me. Watchman Nee put out his books, Witness Lee put out his books, and now I have to put out my books. Now, I heard a lot of things about this person, but I never heard that one. Now, if there is an unsober mind, it's right there. An unsober mind, it's right there. So that gives you right away a window into this person. And when Brother Lee gave this, it's 10 years prior to that implosion. But I can tell you, I cannot read Brother Lee's mind, but I guess that in his speaking, that person is in his mind's eye, or at least one of them. At least one of them. People think Brother Lee is a dummy. He doesn't know what's going on. If you think that way, you are also not very sober. Well, the problem there is the wrong following, being wrong in following others. So, for the sake of the future, brothers, we all need these words of warning. This may not be about your serving today in your local church, but this word this morning has great import on how you lead the church, because we all follow We all follow someone's, right? In the church life. But be careful who you follow and how you follow. We read those famous verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 10 to verse 13, very, very famous concerning these Corinthians. And Paul was there talking to them about how to follow. He said, firstly, charge them to all speak the same thing, so that there would be no divisions among you. The ultimate tragic result of the wrong following is always division. So here he says, but that you should be attuned to the same mind and in the same opinion. That means the one accord. Then it says, it's made clear to me, in other words, Paul got the weather report, right? Concerning you in Corinth, that by a certain household that was close to Paul, he got these reports that there are strifes among you, contentions, fightings, so that each one will you say, I'm of Paul. That means I follow Paul. I'm of Apollos. I follow Apollos. I'm of Cephas. Peter. That's Peter. I follow Cephas. And some even say, the spiritual one says, I follow Christ. I'm of Christ. Then he said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? So in these few brief verses, which Brother Lee used here for this speaking, he was concerned about the Corinthians' following of certain key brothers, co-workers, apostles, including Paul himself. All right. Now, I'd like to say one more thing to just augment this. Brothers, these material that you have in your hand, in your three-ring binder, I would really ask you, even the training is over, that you don't throw it away and that you don't even store it away. I would like to suggest you keep it there and go back to it. There's a word in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold a pattern of the healthy words that you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Here Paul used the word, hold that pattern. Pattern means an example of healthy words. Now elsewhere in 1 Timothy, shepherding or pastoral epistles, so-called, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, he said this. In verse 3, if anyone teaches different things, remember the chapter 1, charge that in Ephesus no man teach differently, but to teach God's economy that is in faith. You remember that, right? So here he says, teach, if anyone teaches different things, that means things different from God's economy, and does not consent to healthy words. So the word healthy reappears here. Those of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching which is according to godliness. So, you have two things here. Number one, that is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all recorded in the Gospels, right? And then the teachings, which is according to godliness. That's the apostles' teachings. So you put those two together, that is that package of healthy words. And that those words form a pattern of healthy words. Sometimes some people look into the Greek and consider that word pattern as almost like an outline of healthy words. The pattern, the example of the healthy words. And of course, if you read further, in 1 Timothy 1:10, you talk about things that is opposed to the healthy teaching, and in the footnote, Brother Lee expounded on this word healthy. Let me read it to you. Healthy implies the matter of life. The sound teaching of the apostles, which is according to the gospel of the glory of God, ministers the healthy teaching as the supply of life to people, either nourishing them or healing them. In contrast, the different teachings of the dissenting ones sow the seeds of death and poison into others. Any teaching that distracts people from the center and goal of God's New Testament economy is not healthy. So I like to tell you, brothers, not because I helped to put these outlines together. I really want to say something from my heart. This 72 lessons is a pattern of healthy words. These are outlines of the healthy teaching. Pass on to us from our brothers. And so I also like to adjure you, following Paul's example, to what? To hold on, to consent to these, first of all, these healthy teaching. And number two, to hold it for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. No matter how the wind blows, no matter how the weather changes, no matter where you ended up, you end up, hold on to these healthy teaching. You should actually carry these outlines with you wherever you go. These are not my outlines. This is the pattern of the healthy words. These words will give light to you. They will be a lamp to your feet. They will continue to instruct you. And you know what? They will also preserve you in God's economy. They will supply and they will heal. And they have the effect of depoisoning when there's poison there. So, brothers, I know this is a whirlwind, 2 years. You hardly remember too many of these material, too much of this material. But listen, just passing it through it once, you don't retain them that much. You got to go back to it again and again and again. Then there's a lot of other readings, further readings and things. Brothers, take your future service, always as part of your service, to restudy these things and get into them again and again. By this way, you will learn. By this way, you will grow and mature to become a proper leading brother, a proper serving one. Trust me, that's what I've been endeavoring to do myself. All right, let's come back to this. Don, I need your help to tell me the time, huh? Okay, let's start. One, let's read together. Be careful in following any co-workers whom you appreciate and to whom you are attracted. Because I have just come from that place because of the fellowship from the brothers, I cannot help it, but that picture of this person is very much in my consciousness when I'm speaking this. And I may refer to that from time to time as I'm going on, because it's a living example of the wrong following, causing a great rift and even division in the Lord's recovery, and causing a tremendous loss of saints. Okay, A, we must be right in following others. In other words, brothers, your church, where will you lead your church? Where will you lead your church? The church in San Francisco, the church in Fremont. Where are you leading your church? Who are you following? Some people say, well, to be safe, I don't follow nobody. Well, that's not right either. Because when you follow nobody, you follow yourself. And that's even more dangerous. That's the wrong way of following. And how you follow will determine how your church, where your church will go. This is a very serious matter, brothers. A, we must be right in following others. 1 Corinthians 1 was written to deal with the divisions of the church in Corinth. 2, verse 10 says that we should speak the same thing. God's economy is the only thing we can speak in the same way. And we must speak it in the same way. Now, even all these words are important to remember. So the danger that is always lurking there, around the corner, in the church life, in the recovery, is division. That's the end game of the devil. That's to cut up the body, divide God's children. And when that happens, the testimony is gone. The recovery is no longer. So we are charged now to speak in order to not have divisions, to speak the same thing. Well, what is to speak the same thing, and what is the same thing? In Philippians, that same thing is Christ, is to pursue Christ. That's in the book of Philippians, to the saints. But in this book, in this book in 1 Corinthians, where Paul was pastoring or shepherding a church like Corinth, he was strong to say they need to speak the same thing. And according to 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4, which you have to read this together, with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, that same thing is God's economy. Remember that. Not only Christ and the pursuit and gaining of Christ is the same thing that we all have to be mindful of, but God's economy is the only thing that we can speak in the same way. Everything else we may differ, and in some ways we can differ, if you will. Not that I'm encouraging difference. I'm making a contrast, brothers. God's economy is the unique same thing that we should speak in the church life. So whatever we may be teaching, you may be teaching some truth on this or that. Eventually, we must teach it with God's economy in view. See, the seven feasts every year, you know what is the outstanding thing? Whatever we cover, whatever book, whatever subject, it's always God's economy, and that's why some people got tired. They said, this is boring stuff. This is cooking cold rice, in the Chinese saying. This is reheating some leftovers. Brothers, to say this means you don't have the adequate appreciation of what is God's economy. When you apply God's economy as a view, as the lens, as your glasses, I tell you, everything in the Bible is new. You know, these days, some of you know, I'm writing a lot of hymns, right? I got this bug in me, and I couldn't get the bug out, so I'm still writing. And I told the brothers yesterday I got delayed because of the snow, and it took me 12 hours to get from Indianapolis to here. I arrived here past midnight. But those 12 hours, thank the Lord, not all lost, because I used those 12 hours to translate a hymn. Not write, I translated a hymn. You say, what hymn? Let me tell you. This coming, in a week, we'll be starting the training in the first part of Ezekiel. Right? The crystallization study of Ezekiel. There's a hymn in the Chinese hymnal based on chapter 1. And by the way, if you read the life study of Ezekiel, almost half is on chapter 1. That shows it's an important chapter. But there's a hymn in the Chinese hymnal that is on chapter 1. And that is the wind, the fire, the cloud, the fire, the electrum. But it was somehow not translated into English. And I said, my goodness, we're a week away. We don't have a hymn on Ezekiel. Well, a brother told me there's actually one, 1200. The wind of blowing, you know that one? That was written around that time. I took a look at it. It's okay, but it's a little, I don't know what to say. It's just not quite there, you know. It's just a good little hymn. Then I recall this hymn. On blowing in Chinese. It's a very good Chinese writing, very stirring. And then covering the cloud. And then burning the fire. And then shining the electrum. So in the 12 hours time, I translated that hymn into English. And I need to polish it and submit to the brothers to see if this is good enough for our singing. But at least this hymn was written by Brother Lee, and it's hard to translate this hymn because Brother Lee packed so much into just two words, which you unpack it in English, it just doesn't fit. So it's very challenging. I'm taking some poetic license to manipulate the thing. And why am I talking about the hymn? Even now I forgot. What was I saying before? That's right. I want to tell you, that hymn, it's not that full. Even Brother Lee has advanced in his seeing in Ezekiel. You know, Brother Lee's first exposition on Ezekiel is around 1958 in Taiwan. That is called the Visions of Ezekiel. Then in 1971 was his exposition in English. The life studies is a kind of combination of those two. Brother Lee never had a life study in Ezekiel per se. And Brother Lee's view, I think today if Brother Lee stands here and give us another study of Ezekiel, it will be even more advanced. But I will tell you one thing. Even in that simple song he wrote in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, it's filled with God's economy. In fact, the high peak is already there. The so-called high peak is already there. So in my writing, my little hymns and so on, I just feel whatever I write, even I write something that is a little bit more sentimental, something a little bit more experiential, it depends whether you have the view of God's economy or not. So, brothers, God's economy must control and govern all of our teachings and all of our speaking. If we do this, brothers, we will speak in the same way, and we will speak the only thing that will keep us one. Don't go to other things. Be warned, brothers. There's always that danger. You just like, you know, this is interesting. You pull out some old books by the brethren. You pull out some old books by some inner life people. And before you know it, you're distracted on good things, good spiritual things, even good spiritual truths of the Bible. But you're distracted from God's economy. And there's always a danger. When we do that, we will become what? Unattuned. We will become different. Like this person in this region. He put out books. I read some, I skimmed some of them. Some of them very good speaking. In Taiwan, Jacob. He gave some long speaking on 2 Corinthians, compiled into a book called The Fragrance, 心香之气, based on 2 Corinthians on the fragrant, you know, the sweet smelling savor. he spoke. And he was there giving a training to the young co-workers in Taiwan. This is in the 70s. Until Brother Lee went back there in 84. And this kind of thing, is it bad? It's not bad. It's not bad or good. It's God's economy or not. And based on what I read, this person, I cannot say he has no view of God's economy. That's unfair to say. That's not grossly unfair. But I'm saying the depth of his understanding. Whether you're governed by it or not is another matter. God's economy can become just one of your arrows. You have 15 of them. One is called God's economy. That shows you're not controlled. Every arrow we shoot should be a God's economy arrow, touching some aspects of the Bible. But it is a God's economy. I tell you, we can have all kinds of problem, or this person, ambition or territorial or pride, all these things, Brother Lee, also cover a lot in that book, A Word of Love. Apart from all those things, I'm not even going there. I'm just talking about the basic thing, and that is, are you dominated, governed by the view of God's economy? That's what I'm talking about. And I see deficit here. A great deficit here with this particular brother. Very gifted, charismatic, dynamic, and he perfected a number of people. And many brothers follow him from Taiwan, from this region in the U.S. But eventually, what did they follow? This person loves the Lord? Yes. This is a very serious thing, brothers. You may say, what I'm speaking here, how does it affect my current service? Brothers, it affects a lot. You may not know it today. You all, young brothers, you must anchor yourself in God's economy. Amen. You must anchor yourself in the healthy teaching of God's economy. Even the eldership must be an eldership in God's economy. All right, I better move on quickly. The entire book of 1 Corinthians reveals God's economy. A, it's not just a book that solved 10 problems. You know, that's what the brethren say, or Bible teachers say. No, It reveals God's economy. A, the second chapter of half of chapter 1 says that Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, and this Christ has been given to us to be our righteousness for the past sanctification, for the present, for the past sanctification, for the present, and redemption for the future. B, Christ is all to us. This is God's economy, the one thing which we speak. It's not about solving problems. We do have to solve problems in the church life. We have to face these things. And Paul spent a lot of ink writing to the Corinthians about these things. But be mindful. How many people have seen that 1 Corinthians is not about solutions? You know, like Paul was a church consultant or something. No, Paul was presenting Christ. And how many people see Christ in 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 13 shows us that we must be right in following others. A, if we follow the wrong person, by the way, God's economy concerns Christ with the church. Okay, let's continue. We must be right in following others. A, if we follow the wrong person, we will damage ourselves and we will damage that person. Surely that happened. Our following of a person wrongly is a destruction to the one whom we follow. That has surely happened. If no one would follow you, you couldn't do that much damage. No matter what you lead, you have no army, you know, just one man leading the air or something. You couldn't do that much damage. It's the followers that gives this person more impetus and the encouragement to do damage. So the following is very important. The followers have to bear a lot of responsibility, not just the leading. Brother Lee say, I follow you. Because you are following Christ. You are, in today's parlance, you are following God's economy. The day, Watchman Nee, you don't follow God's economy, I'm the first who will not follow you. This is Brother Lee. Who are your saints in your church following? They're following you. That's right. You're the leading brothers. What kind of leading brother are you? How much do you know about God's economy? That's a solemn question. Very solemn question. This is why we need to be equipped. This is why we need to get into the ministry. This is why we need to know these things. It's a life and death matter. And we will cause damage and we will destroy others, including the ones we follow, if we don't follow rightly. We should avoid doing a work to attract people to follow us. We all have to see this. Such a one who makes himself attractive is wrong already. And if you are attracted to follow him, you help him to be wrong. You say, well, don't we follow Witness Lee? Well, I would first raise my hands to say I do, just like Brother Lee would follow Brother Lee. But it's how you follow. It's what kind of following. Is it a pure one? Is it a right one? Or is it just due to this person's charisma or attractiveness, which in very much in this place I just came from, is the case. This person, one of his modus operandi is to rebuke. And by rebuking, he intimidates. You don't know. You don't know. Brothers told me. Brothers were there. These are brothers who were there. And he would, one brother who went there during the time of consolidation, and he, one time he was outside in this, the meeting place or something. Just outside, he heard this strong rebuke. Public. I call it public humiliation, which Brother Lee never did. Brother Lee said something about me publicly, but not that way. Not in that way. And it is a pattern. And I hear this story, these very, very scary stories from multiple parties. Right, Gary? You have been there. It's unbelievable. It makes my hair stand up. And by rebuking you, by kind of putting you to the floor, he intimidates you. And by doing that, he controls you. But yeah, he did also the other thing, that is publicly exalt you. He spent time in his kind of place to hold court. To talk about the co-workers. Who's in, who's out. Who is in ascent, is that the word? And who's being demoted. Eventually, in one of the last meetings, he say, what have they done? I raise up X churches. What have they done? I'm not going back anymore. There's going to be a split in the recovery. When that happened, will you stand with me? He asked. And most of the hands rose up. Can you believe this, brothers? This is happens in the Lord's recovery. By a key leading co-worker of a huge region. I've never seen this kind of thing happen with Witness Lee. We'll get to that. We're just touching teachings right now. We're going to touch the person next. Okay, 5. Learn to be attuned. Learn to be adjusted. Learn to be corrected. To be attuned is to be joined together as the piano is tuned to give a proper harmony and melody. So, brothers, let me just say one word. Humble yourself. Don't be so opinionated. Don't think yourself you're somebody. Always learn to be attuned with others. The big problem with the co-workers is they cannot be attuned to others. They have to be do their thing. This is a fallen human tendency. Learn to be adjusted. To be adjusted is salvation, brothers, is protection. Learn to be corrected. It's a wonderful thing to be corrected. To have people say, Eddie, you're a great guy, you're number one. I tell you, that's not saving you, that's destroying you. But to learn to be corrected, even some brothers would have the grace to say something for your correction, for your adjustment. I tell you, that is a great, great preservation. Amen. To be attuned is to be joined together like a piano. Brothers, I'll tell you, today we're in the age no longer of violin solos. We're in the age of symphonic concert. If you don't play with others, You have nothing to play. It's symphony. It's harmony. Wherever you go, it's not how much you can do, how much talent you have, how much experience you have. It's how much you can coordinate with the others, how much you can be attuned to others. That is the age we're in, which is the age of the body. But that is not in this place where they train. They're making everyone a CEO. Go. Promote the talent. God gave you this talent. God gave you this. You have to develop that. You have to build that up, whatever that is. That's Christianity. All over again. I surely have found that almost the acid test to a person's usefulness is all in this matter, whether they can work with others. It's not how gifted they are. No, trust me. I gave my last word to the middle age training just on this matter. Brothers, I said, sisters, you're middle age, you're graduating, you're going to go and serve here, serve there. I tell you, I don't care what training you have this year. I said, I just care for one thing. When you go back, can you go along with others? Can you work with others? Otherwise, all your training would become a problem. Brothers, we need harmony to play the melody. This is what Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 1. Your problem is you're diversely minded. You're not attuned to the same opinion. I would say in these last 3 years, at least to some small degree, the Lord did something among us to attune us. Jim, you agree with me? You say nothing has happened. I tell you, a lot has happened. Not in the way you think. If we're not attuned, let's go on stage. What are you going to play? I'm on E, you're on A, flat, whatever. What are we going to play to the world? This attuning, this harmonizing, this blending, this tempering together to this in the same mind, in the same opinion, is critical to our testimony and to our going on. I think I'm being too slow. What time is it?
It's almost 10.
My goodness. B, one whom we follow should be a person. Now, we're talking about the person now. The first part is on the teaching, the focus. The second part is on the person. A person loving the Lord, just keep these things, living the Lord, living for the Lord, and renouncing his self, natural life, present preference, and ambition. Renouncing. Now, renouncing means no one does that to you. You do it to yourself. You renounce it. You stand against it. You overthrow it yourself. Yourself, your natural life, preference, and ambition. Isn't this the three keys in San Jose? Remember the three keys of the kingdom? To take up the cross, to deny the soul life, and to deny the self, the three keys to lock up the kingdom, to lock up Hades, the gates of Hades. Brother, this is it. Sorry, I don't see, at least in the latter days, these keys being used by this particular person. A coworker and I were on the phone call with this person on the eve of the time when he took his own way. On the phone, together. Still, they're accusing with great unhappiness. Where is the renouncing of the self? Where is the dying to your natural man? So even if the brothers may say something, I use the word if, not entirely correct about you, is that the attitude? Where's the cross that we all preach all the time? Really? Where is the enduring of mistreatment and misunderstanding, which is the greatest suffering to both Brother Nee and Brother Lee if you read their own stories and never say a word? You know Brother Nee, he was excommunicated, but he never defended himself. Here's a man who knows the cross, and here's a man that God uses. One, regardless of how good one is and how high his spiritual capacity might be, you might ask, is this the one whom I've been attracted? A person who all the time renounces his self, his natural life, his preference, even his preference and ambition? Check that one. If there's a checklist, check that one first. Two, in the church life, in the recovery, Lord's recovery, we have all learned how to give in, even if it means that we suffer. Give in. If you're a strong man, no one can change your preference. You insist that you're right and that your way is the right way. This is wrong. Of insistence. Of sticking to your preference. Of not giving in. And some, they give in outwardly, but inwardly never gave in. Not for an inch. They dug in rather than give in. This is wrong. Three, those dear ones, especially who are born with a strong character, must be aware that their strong character in insisting on their preference. We all are somewhat like this. Some are more, some are less. But Brother Lee's promoting some self-awareness of it. At least you should be aware, because no one will talk to you about it. We're all nice with each other. Am I right? So you need to be self-aware. Don't insist, brothers. Let me tell you a secret in the church life. Never insist. Another secret, go along. See, one whom we follow must hold the complete revelation of the entire Holy Scriptures. Properly, without any twisting and deforming. Now, this is very important. All these are very, very important. You have to study these things. One, deforming is different from twisting. To deform the truth is simply to change it a little or add something. Do not cut off anything from the truth and do not add anything to it. Take the truth as it is. In the last chapter of the book, The Character of the Lord's Worker, there's a point called absoluteness for the truth. That means zero compromising. Affection, natural affection, cannot change the truth. Relationships should not affect our absoluteness for the truth. Financial support should never sway us in our steps for the truth, in the way of truth. You change a little there, you change a little there, here, you're deforming it. Two, concerning one whom you follow, you must check how he handles the truth. That's very, very good. Very good suggestion. How he handles the truth. Now, I'm not here talking about nitpicking, you know, foot washing, you know. I don't mean, you brothers understand what I mean. D, one whom you follow must be one who endeavors to keep the oneness of the Spirit. This is so important. The oneness of the universal body by taking the unique ground of the local church. One who does not endeavor to keep the oneness, you should not follow. The oneness of the universal body of Christ. All right? Plus, taking the unique ground of the local church. One, in Christ we all are one body universally. Universally refers not only to space but also time. This is universal oneness in which we are one with all the believers. Two, if you say that you are for the oneness of the body, to not take the unique ground of the local church is strong evidence that you do not care for the oneness of the body. In actuality, you are one with no one. You know, oneness kills all of us. The one body is the ultimate test of our spirituality. You just remember that sentence. The keeping of oneness is the ultimate test of your true, of your spirituality. Two, let's read two. Be strongly discerning in the accepting of the divine revelation according to the Holy Scriptures. A, the accepting of the divine revelation must be governed by, one, the eternal economy of God as the basic principle. These are all actually from the original outline that Brother Lee prepared for this message. I mentioned that already. Two, Christ as the centrality and universality of God's eternal economy. In other words, Christ is everything in God's economy. Brothers, even standing here, I am not 100% sure that all the brothers in this room are clear about that point. I'm not. Sorry to say this. That you really see that in God's economy, Christ alone is the center and the universe. That there's nothing other than Christ. You have to come to that point to see that. Three, the body of Christ which consummates the New Jerusalem as the divine goal of the process and consummated triune God, the flowing of the Father as the fountain, the Son as the spring, and the Spirit as the river eventually becomes the eternal life, which is the New Jerusalem. You got to see this. Those were the days when Brother Lee was talking about John. Those were the last days, last year of his life. And that's why he bring it up, God's economy, using John 4:14, where the living water comes from a fountain, that's the Father, then there's the spring, that's the Son, and the river, that is the Spirit, and life that we will be flowing unto is simply the New Jerusalem. You need to study those things. Don't push them aside and say, oh, these are too high, these are too deep, these are too... Don't do that, brothers. We need to know them, right, and be governed by them. B, the application of the divine truths must avoid certain things. One, uplifting any basic truth, such as the three sections of sanctification, the designation of Christ as the seed of David to be the firstborn Son of God, the acknowledgement of the fact that I am of Christ, etc., to cause divisions that divide Christ, including his body. Now, I was a little shocked when Brother Lee said even the designation of Christ as the seed is... should not be uplifted. I said, Brother Lee, isn't that God's economy? Well, Brother Lee has a point here. That it's even that, if you uplift it in a way, you know what I mean? You will become off balance. Even the best truth that is could mislead us away from God's economy may cause us to divide. Well, it happened to the brethren. It absolutely happened to the brethren. Some said they belonged to Paul, some to Cephas, some to Apollos, and some the superior ones to Christ. However, Christ is not divided. If you can say these things, I am of Christ, that means your Christ is a divided Christ. B, you must be careful. You may teach the right truth, but to stress anyone too much may be the cause of a division. So it's not that we don't teach these things. I mean, the three aspects of stages of sanctification is a great matter concerning our organic salvation. It's a great matter. That means the pre-salvation sanctification, the in-salvation sanctification, and the post-salvation sanctification, three stages in the Bible. It's a great, great truth that we have come to see. But if you uplift that at the cost of God's economy, then you're not careful. You overstress certain things, and you can cause a division. Two, neglecting any subordinate truth or stressing any of them, which leads towards the direction of division that divides the body of Christ. I tell you, I've not seen a Christian teacher that is so balanced like Brother Lee. I use the word balance. It's not just he has all these great truths, but every truth is in its place. These truths are the trunk. These truths are the branches. These truths are the leaves. There's a priority. Two, neglect. I read that already, right? Okay, three. Let's read three. We need to follow others according to the divine truth and the divine vision. A, concerning following a person, the New Testament only tells us that Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. We follow someone because he has the revelation of God, the vision of God, and that's what Paul, Witness Lee said to Watchman Nee, in essence. B, in actually, our leading is not a person, but the divine truth, the divine vision. We follow our brother because he brought us this truth and this vision. In the end, we're not following him. We're following the vision that he is in and is guiding us into. So in that sense, it's not a personal following. In one sense, it is. In another sense, it is not. We are followers of the Lord's revelation. D, we must never try to get people to follow us. That is the serpent. It damages us. Always, brothers, be careful not to build up a following. You know, Brother Lee, you said in Chinese, bandi. Bandi. I don't even know how English. Huh? Your loyal, you have a loyal following, loyal crew, close loyal crew. Do you call them? Like your inner circle, huh? Inner circle of loyalists, huh? You know, the loyalist. And sorry to say, with this person that I'm talking about, there is that. He went to Taiwan, and afterward, there's a loyalist, a group of loyalists who almost pledged allegiance to him, besides the recovery. You know, our allegiance is to God and Christ. Amen. And to his recovery. Amen. But that happened. That happened in this country. Okay, let's go on. C, I read C already, right? Okay, I will be done. Our leading is the Lord's revelation, the Lord's word. Therefore, we have to discern very much concerning the mat of the truth, then we will not damage the body, damage ourselves, or damage the one whom we follow. D, we must never try to get people to follow. Okay, I read that already. That's the serpent that damages us. E, this also means that we should never follow any person. Simply follow the Lord according to his word and follow the heavenly vision. To this end, we must study his word properly without twisting or any kind of deforming. Not only you, but all the saints should know the truth. So even they would have a proper following. So when you're off, in a sense, they should not follow you. You follow. You understand, right? Okay, F, we should learn how to follow the Lord and to learn his word in the proper way so that we can discern what are the basic truth and what are the subordinate truth. One, some truth are like the trunk of a tree. Some truth are subordinate, like the branches. Moreover, some branches are bigger while some are smaller. Two, to understand and to accept the basic truth should be governed by God's economy, by Christ and his body. Three, concerning the subordinate truth, the branches do not oppose, neglect, or stress anyone in particular. I think we have this in the ICSC conference last year or 3 years ago in Anaheim. We quoted this. Didn't we? We did that. I remember this. G, we must not have intimacy or friendship. Intimacy is not lovely. Intimacy in the typology of the Bible is honey. In the meal offering, honey was prohibited. The people could not put honey in the meal offering. Instead, they put in salt, which kills the germs. Well, another problem in this situation is intimacy. That means special relationships. So that when you get into that situation or that with those few, goodness, it's kicking back time and talk about everything. Watchman Nee, Brother Lee, the co-workers, the recovery, because you're so close. We're so trusted friends. Yeah. Don't think this did not happen. It happened. Brothers, we have no friendship. We're brothers, and we love each other affectionately. That is right. That's Philadelphia. But no honey. No natural friendship. We're even intimate, but not intimate in that kind of a way. All right, what time is it?
10:17.
Very good. I like now, since we have some time, for you to say something, share something, as the Lord touch you concerning this. We'll go to 10:30. All right? I know this seldom happens because I take all the time. The brothers over there told me they just finished their fourth module, year one. And they are so encouraged by the saints. 260 saints, brothers, in a diverse region. And this is just doing so much to them. But they say, no time to share. So they said we rely on the group time to share something. But we do have 10 minutes now. Please, huh?